everybody. My name is Aaron. I'm an alcoholic.
Aaron.
My sobriety date is August 28th, 2000. My home group is the Monday Men's Meeting in Bethesda, Maryland, and I have a sponsor. And thanks, Dale, for asking me to come down here. You just read what I was going to read to start this, so I don't know where to go. But I appreciate being here, and I take this very seriously. Even though I'm not at all a public speaker, it's kind of anti my thing, but I do this because it's what was asked of me in AA, and I do it because other people did it and showed me that you can do it, you know. And what it says, what was just read about, we're here to describe what happened and how we've come to establish a relationship with a higher power. And if I say nothing else, you know, like the short version is through the steps, you know. That's how it happened. And I think I was in AA for a long time before I realized what it said in the 12th step about that the whole point of this is to have, you know, spiritual experience. So I came here kind of with different motives, you know, but I'll get into that. So apologies in advance. Like I said, I'm really not a good speaker, but I will do my best. And I always just pray beforehand because I just don't know. I just pray that God say whatever needs to be said. And hopefully it could be useful to somebody. But I do know that I'm an alcoholic and that ideally, you know, somebody will relate to what I have to say. So again, I'm grateful to be here. And so my story starts, I live in the DC area now, but I grew up in a very, very small town in Pennsylvania. I think Madison is probably way bigger. We didn't have any stoplights in our town. Growing up, I would have always described myself as like kind of a shy kid if asked. And I felt like from my earliest memories, it just seemed like everybody else knew how to live, you know, and like the earliest thing I could remember is moving from one school to another, where I went from Catholic school to a public school. And all of a sudden, like I had to pay attention to what I wore, and everybody just seemed like knew what was going on. And I just felt lost from very early ages, you know? And, but when I took a drink, my first time drinking, I just turned 15, either before or after, but, it's interesting. So I remembered on the way here, how old I am. I'm 43 now. So when I was 15 is when I first got drunk, and I don't remember a lot of things in life, but if we all got on a bus and took a road trip, I could take you to the exact place where I got drunk. I could tell you who was there. I could tell you what we drank, you know, and that's, I don't know, 18 years ago now. So it had a profound impact on my life that night. And it wasn't anything glamorous. We were just drinking in the woods around a fire. And it was some guys I played basketball with and a couple older people there. And I don't know. And like, I definitely felt like they were cool. I'm pretty sure they had all drank before. And I definitely wanted them to like me. And I don't know where I got this idea, but going into that night, I just somehow knew that the point of drinking was to just drink as much as possible and get drunk. And that's what I did. And, you know, from that, once it kind of kicked in, it was like everything changed. I felt totally comfortable around all these people. I could joke around with the older guys. I could talk to the girls that were there. And it was just amazing, you know? And I've heard people talk about like they had arrived sort of when they drank, you know, and it really did happen for me. Like that first night, there was some things happened that night where some people that were there got in some major trouble. And it was like an infamous, like the whole school knew about some stuff that happened that night. And I was there, you know, and I was like, I could sit and talk to people about it at the lunch table. And it was like, I had found my niche, you know, and I felt hungover the next day, but that was the only consequence, you know? And so I looked forward to whenever I could do it again. And But being in a small town like this, it was not easy to get alcohol. I mean, the guy, up until I moved away, the guy that got almost all the alcohol for us, he wasn't even 21. So it was sort of like a coin toss. Is he going to be able to get it? You know, but any chance I could, I was doing it. And within a very short period of time, I started to appreciate what alcohol did for me. And I even remember having these thoughts that I feel like alcohol makes me a better version of me. You know, it lets me say the things that I want to say, but I'm too shy or scared to say it. It lets me talk to people that I'm normally, you know, too intimidated to talk to. And it just made whatever we're doing, it made it better. And so that's how I drink. You know, my first several years of drinking, it was really just the fun phase, you know, and nothing, like I said, nothing glamorous. You know, I drank in mostly in the woods, whatever we could get or scavenge or steal from somewhere was what we were drinking. And, but I loved it. And I didn't have my first consequence from drinking came. It was my senior year in high school, and I was in marching band at school, and I didn't really like it. I didn't want to be there, but we went to this other town, and there's a parade, and I snuck a bunch of alcohol with me because we had some free time to run around before it, and I got caught and got arrested and stuff like that, and. It was a really big deal at the time, just because like it was a big deal. I got suspended from school for a while. I lost my spot on like the basketball team for a little bit. You know, whatever consequences I could face at that age, it was like the end of the world, it felt like, you know. And when it happened, you know, I didn't really think this at the time, but my parents sat down and I had kind of hid my drinking from them up until this point, and they I remember they sat down and they said, "Do you have a problem with alcohol?" And I thought they were really being dramatic, you know, because I mean, I had excuses. I was like, "No, you know, if this person hadn't told this teacher, if the teacher hadn't called the cops, like none of this would have been a problem. If people would have just left me alone, everything would be fine, you know." And I would have that attitude all the way up to the end of my drinking, you know. But looking back, I could see that like. It wasn't like I got caught at a party where everybody was drinking. I did it like I was by myself drinking on this not drinking event, you know, and they were just out of the blue. They just were like, "What is going on with this kid?" You know, and sometimes I think about it like when they asked me that question, I brushed it off, but it was almost like sometimes I look back and it reminds me of like that old doggerel in Bill's story where it's like a warning that I didn't pay attention to, and maybe I should have, but. As soon as the heat was off and the consequences were done, I just went back to doing what I was doing. And so a little after that, I graduated high school and went to college, and my drinking took on a different turn there. Like, so I said it was a small town. Like I graduated with 50 kids and, you know, in my high school, in my high school class. And then went, and I was uncomfortable around them, and I had grown up with them. And then I went to college, and there was like 15,000 students, and I just really wasn't like equipped to deal with it. I didn't know how to like meet people, or just I don't know, man. Like everybody else seemed like they just adapted right to college life, and I was just uncomfortable. And I was there for a little while, just not knowing what to do. And I had a cousin who went there. And she invited me to the sorority party. I hung up the phone. I think I ran there because I knew if I go there's going to be drinking and I'll be fine. And so I got there and I drank and it was fine. I met a bunch of people that night and went from like party to party. And I got kind of plugged in with the right people at college. But I say it took on a different turn where it went from like, this is something that I love doing. It's fun. It makes me better, everything better. To, I am not really doing anything else unless it's drinking, you know. I was not involved in any extracurricular activities, anything, barely went to class, you know. And one of the things I had a public speaking class, and it was probably less people than are in this room, but we would have to get up and give speeches, and I would just stand there, and I could just feel my face getting red and sweat, and I could barely do it. So I started getting drunk before class, and then I could do it. I was like emotive, and I gave a speech on lowering the drinking age, and I got an A on it. And but you know, it was, like I said, like if I wasn't drinking, I was kind of just hiding out, you know. And the times I was sober just seemed to get more and more uncomfortable as I went on in my drinking. And I ended up starting to get some more consequences. I would get arrested for being drunk, and this was in Pennsylvania, and like you'd like lose your license and get fines and stuff for just for underage, not even like DUI. And I would get in trouble, and I would come up with excuses, you know, like why, okay, I shouldn't drink hard liquor because I get like weird when I drink hard liquor, or I shouldn't drink with certain people, you know. And I tried, so like in the book, it talks about how we try to control and enjoy our drinking. Like I never heard that phrase before coming here, but I did have my own version of it, which was like, I need to figure out a way to drink and not get in trouble. And the best I could do is I would have nights where I'd be like, I'm not going to drink, you know, or I'm just going to drink in the apartment. And I really love what it talks about in the book about the failed experiment of the first drink. Cause like, that was my experience. Like I had nights where like I was either planning on not drinking, or I was just going to only have like one or two. Like I always thought I changed my mind, you know, and I would pick up that first drink and then I had no idea what was going to happen. You know, I had nights where I went into the night not really planning on drinking, but I get around it. I have, you know, I say, all right, I'll just have one or two. It'll be different this time is what I would always say. You know, like the, it talks about like the peculiar mental twist that we acquire. Like I didn't know I had that, you know. I just knew, I thought I changed my mind and I figured out it would be different. And you know, I had nights where I didn't plan on drinking, but then I end up coming out of a blackout and I'm driving somebody else's car, and then I'm just paranoid, you know. And one of these arrests I got, like it ended up coming back like a lot worse. It was just a party that got busted, and I just gotten arrested like a couple of weeks before, so I didn't want it again. So I gave a fake name and stuff, and they figured out who I was anyways. They took a picture of me, and they like, which made it a lot worse. Like they tried to like, they were cracking down on drinking at my school because someone had died. And they basically came and arrested me out of class one day, like put me in shackles on my ankles and like made a scene of it. And I had to call my mom and get like bailed out of jail. And I remember thinking that when that happened, I was like, man, this is the worst moment of my life. And I had to go, you know, I remember going in front of the judge. I got like suspended jail sentence. And at this point, my license was taken away for years. And the judge said, you know, if I see you again, you're going to jail. And so I thought, all right, I need to stop drinking until I'm 21. That was like as far as I could imagine, you know. And but like I said about that peculiar mental twist, or you know, the mental blank spots it talks about that we have, I didn't know that I couldn't not drink. And so I was 19 at that time, and like I literally, like I was like 21, that's just somehow got to make it to 21, and I couldn't do it. Like I said, I would, if I got around alcohol, it was just a matter of time before I drank. And I just had no idea what I was dealing with, you know. And I didn't know anything about being powerless, you know. I always thought, I just changed my mind, or, you know, it was different. So so the last 6 months of my drinking was like that. I had fun with problems, and then just problems, like you hear people say. And it was really dark that last time. Like most of the people I'd been hanging out with kind of wanted nothing to do with me. I was a liability because I was always getting in trouble. I was also very unpredictable when I was drinking. And somehow I convinced this girl to stay going out with me. I had a girlfriend, and she was kind of the only person left that would deal with me for some reason. But she was 21, and she actually could buy alcohol, and we would go, she would pick me up, drive to her house, and I could like drink at her house. And I was like, this is it. Like this could be the only way this works, you know. And but the problem was, like, I would go all through the week waiting till I could, like, see her and, like, drink in this safe environment, I thought, you know. And I was just miserable, just thinking about how I'm ruining my life. I had this, like, whiteboard in our house, and I would, like, check off how many days until I get my license back, you know. And it was, like, in the thousands, and I was like, it was just, every day was like, I was just faced with what a loser I was, you know. And I was just looking forward to, like, going and drinking and just everything being all right. And the problem was, like, towards the end, it kind of stopped doing that. Like, I would drink, but I still, my head would still be going, you know. And like, the best I could really get was just kind of black out, pass out, drunk, you know. But the problem was, like, I got really weird in those times, you know. Like, I used to start fights with this girl and say, I'm walking home, and it was like a 45-minute drive, and she would get worried, and, like, her and her mom would go looking for me, and I would, like, double back and pretend like nothing happened, you know. Like, I was not fun to be around, you know. I just didn't know what to do, you know. Like, I just wanted to somehow drink and have everything be all right, and it just wasn't, you know. Like, I would drink, and it was, and I just knew, I just couldn't stop thinking about all the trouble I'm gonna get in, all the trouble I already was in. And I ended up kind of feeling like suicidal at times, you know. And there was a couple other things that went wrong at that time. It was very dark. And the last time, I just get to my last time drinking. So, like I said, I've been in this dark place for a while, and I got really, really drunk with this girl and started some ridiculous fight. And she was like, I'm done. And she was like, gonna drive me home, and that was it. And she was like my supply of alcohol also, not just like the sort of my higher power at that time, you know. But I had really nothing else going for me, and I kind of just lost it. She left. I don't really remember much of this night, but I knew I just kind of snapped. And my mom and brother and neighbor were trying to, like, talk me down, and I ended up, like, hitting my mom, stealing car keys, driving off, and the last thing they heard me say was, I'm gonna go kill myself. And like, I say that now, and, like, it made me sick a lot just to even think about the little bits and pieces of that night that I could remember. It made me, you know, it was horrifying. And also, like, I don't know. I just can't imagine what that would be like for them to see that. And I drove off, made it somehow pretty far, but ended up rolling this car and getting a pretty bad car accident. I got airlifted to the hospital. And then after they patched me up, I had to check into the psych ward there because of the stuff I had said and done. And so I'm in there, and I never met anybody that had been in the psych ward. I just felt like, what had happened to me? I looked in the mirror, I had all these staples in my head. I couldn't even recognize myself in the mirror. And I was kind of faced with this realization that, like, the attitude I always had, that, like, what I'm doing is totally normal. If people just leave me alone, I'm not hurting anybody, everything will be fine. Like, I couldn't say that anymore. Like, it was like, it hit me in the face. Like, what I'm doing is clearly hurting other people. It's not normal. I don't know anybody else that's in this type of situation. But at the same time, I don't know what to do, you know. And I felt completely hopeless. And, you know, I feel like from that moment, I started to notice what felt like some kind of higher power working in my life, you know. There was a guy who worked at that hospital who sat down with me, and I later found out that he was in AA. He didn't mention it at the time, but he just talked about how he used to drink and had all these problems, and how he doesn't drink anymore. And he made it sound good. And you know, and I was pretty beat down and open to anything, because I honestly, like, talk about hopelessness. Like, I really couldn't picture any point, like, path forward for my life at that moment. You know, I just, whatever somebody said, I just did, you know. And so they suggested I go to this rehab, and I went there, and, like I said, I don't even know if I had a choice. They said do this, and I just did it. And I got introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous there. And like when I said, like higher power in my life, like I never really heard of AA before. But they had meetings. People would come in and speak like every night at this place. And it was like everything I heard people share in meetings, it was as if that they knew me and they were talking about me, like the way they felt, the way they drank, things that they had done. And I had never heard anybody put that stuff into words. And just this overwhelming sense of like, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. And these people seem to have the answer, you know, because all my life I've been getting questions like, what were you thinking? You know, or like, what is wrong with you? And I never had an answer for any of them, you know, other than like blaming other people. But like here was a place where people were saying the exact same stuff. And they were like, I'm an alcoholic. This is what's wrong with me. And I was like, oh, you know, maybe this is where I'm supposed to be. And I got like a little glimmer of hope, you know. And I would like to say that I jumped right into steps and like it was awesome from that point on, but I wasn't really, you know, like I looked like aside from rehab, like my first meeting when I got out, and this isn't to like disparage anybody, but I was 20 and I went to a meeting in this dingy church basement with a guy with one leg, of like a very elderly woman. And I'm pretty sure the other guy was missing like half of a hand. And I'm like, is this my life now? You know, and I was I didn't like, I felt like AA was the answer when I was in rehab. And then when I got out and went to a meeting, I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, I guess this is just what I have to do though, you know? And so I didn't really look forward to it. And I, you know, I was staying sober, I would say in the beginning, mainly on fear, and that I had no other direction to go. Excuse me. And so I would go to meetings, and I was the youngest person in every meeting I went to by 20 years, probably. And I would get a lot of pats on the back, and people would say, oh, you're so lucky, you got your whole life ahead of you. You know, you're so lucky to get sober at your age, you're doing great. And I took that as like, I'm doing great. But you know, none of them were coming home with me. I'd moved back home to my parents, and I was just not drinking, really. Like, the only improvement in my life was that I stopped getting arrested. You know, I never had any legal trouble aside from drinking. So I took drinking away, and those problems stopped. But other than that, I was pretty miserable. I felt like I thought about alcohol way more when I got sober than I did when I was drinking. It was like obsessive, like, you know, and I started having drinking dreams, which was like never a thing, you know, until I got sober. And I had this job at a lumber yard where I'd be alone by myself a lot, and I'd just be angry and break wood. And, you know, like somebody could customer come in and like talk to me wrong, and my day was ruined, and I was going to ruin everybody else's day that I saw. And I would go home and like yell at my parents and play video games till like 3 in the morning. And but I'll go to the meeting every day. People be like, oh, you're doing great, you know. And but I wasn't, you know, I was just not drinking. And I didn't really fully get what I was dealing with. You know, I got that if I drink, I'm going to die. I kind of got that. I felt like I just about died my last time drinking. And I was pretty scared to drink, but I didn't really envision what was going on here. I couldn't picture it, and I wasn't looking for it. I looked at AA much like I looked at school growing up or whatever. It's just something I go and I check the box, and it's because of what I'm supposed to do. And I feel like I was missing the boat, but you know, it's whatever. It was my experience. It took what it took. I'm very grateful that I at least stayed sober, you know. And that I didn't make it worse. You know, I mean, I wasn't like pleasant to be around for sure, but at least I didn't burn it all to the ground. And my feet were trained to be in meetings, to where I feel like, you know, this is where like a higher power was working, because like I heard, eventually kind of heard what I needed to hear in the meetings. And I was fortunately in the right place, doing what I was supposed to do. Excuse me. And so kind of what happened that was big was, I finished college and I moved down to the DC area, and I looked up meetings before I got there, and I saw it in that they had like young people's meetings. I was like, oh, I should check that out. And I went to one and I was just blown away. It was like I went from being by far the youngest person in every meeting to I was like somewhere in the middle of the pack. There was people way younger than me even. And it was a speakers meeting, celebration meeting, and people were sharing their stories, and I was like, I couldn't believe their stories. I mean, I sat from like small town. I had never heard of like crack and things like that. And I was just like, the person's story, I was like, it was like super entertaining even just to listen to their stories. But I noticed that they all seemed happy and comfortable sober. And they were talking about their horrific past, but not in a way that like I'm such a piece of garbage. Like they weren't, I could see that something had changed. They weren't just there full of shame and regret and stuff like that. They had something going on that I didn't have, And I'd had a sponsor where I was, but I mean, I just asked him because they said get a sponsor, and he was 77, I was 20, and we just kind of like would talk every now and then at meetings. It wasn't really, it's not on him, or that's just what it was. Like I had a sponsor, basically a name only. It didn't really go through his test. We had talked about some amends and stuff like that that would come later down the road, but didn't really get into it, And but when I was here, or when I came down to like DC, it was like I said, like it seemed obvious to me that people had some type of solution working in their life that I was missing. And also nobody was like gonna pat me on the back just for being there in the meeting. I was just another person in the meeting. I wasn't special. But thankfully, again, like I can't take credit for this. Like it was like my higher power. Like people stuck their hand out and said, hey, why don't you come along and do what we're doing? Excuse me. And I got a sponsor there that night, actually, at that meeting. Didn't know him at all. Somebody said, that guy's got a lot of time, you should ask him. And so I asked him, and he terrified me a little bit, but I got him, and we started to go through the steps, and things started to change a little bit. So I still had no license for a while, but I kind of just followed people around in AA and started doing what they were doing. If whoever was picking me up was going and like making the coffee or setting up the meeting, I was doing that. If they were going after and doing something, I was doing that. And it got to where I was like looking forward to like getting out of work and like going to meet up with people for the meetings. And so, like I said, I started to go through the steps. Did a fourth and fifth step, and got a real kind of, it was kind of eye-opening in that, it was like I had mentioned before, like I would blame all my problems on everybody else. And this was like the first time I moved in like a different direction from that and started to see how I was the problem, and how I couldn't really blame my life on anyone else. And another thing, I will say that sponsor ended up leaving AA, and I just ended up getting my grand sponsor right after that, and started back over with the steps with him. But and I remember it was a little different with him, but I felt more when I did my fourth and fifth step with him. I felt more of a sense of like, it's okay. Like this guy's just like me. Like yeah, I'm extremely petty and immature and insecure and all this stuff, and not a nice guy who drank too much, but he's just like me, and it's okay. And that was big, like just to really kind of like get to feel like I'm a part of this, more. And like I said, I did all the service that whatever people were doing, I was doing it, and over time, I started, doing an eighth and ninth step. And one of the things I think that helped me out so much with that was just being in step meetings. There was like this one step meeting I went to every Saturday, and I would hear other people's experience about their amends that they would do, and it would like unlock something in me that I didn't even think about before, like about how I was to the people around me. And it made me want to like keep going and do something different. Cause I'm thankful that when I first got sober, I could not fully see who and what I was and how I was to other people. Cause it would have just, my head would have exploded. So I'm really kind of grateful that it was gradual and like piece by piece things would like be unlocked and I could see more and more kind of the type of person I was. And I was able to, you know, have the desire and ask, how can I be different, you know? And I was thinking about, I was talking with somebody about this recently who was going to a wedding of a family member. And I had this one amends to make. And it's not like, it seems really stupid when I look back on it. But so there was a guy, and I went to a party at his house with a couple other guys who were pretty much just like me. And he ended up going in his room with a girl, and we were like, that's lame. So we just punched a bunch of holes in his wall and stole all the beer and drove home. And then never said a word about it, you know, but there was something. So like, I knew this guy was like from my hometown. So every time I go back there, I kind of felt, am I going to run into this guy? Does he want to punch me in the face? I don't know what. And, you know, I talked to my sponsor about it when I made my eighth step, and the one day he's like, why don't you try to find this guy, you know? And my brother actually helped me to get his phone number, and I called him and ended up going and talking to him and making some amends with him. And it was like, he didn't even think about it. He forgot about it. But like, it was something I was like a little bit in fear every time I went home. And I just say that because I like a couple months after I made that amends, my sister got married, and this guy was at the wedding, and I didn't know that he was going to be there. I didn't know they were like close with the groom, you know, but he was there, and I saw him, and I had like half a second of like, oh no, followed by like, thank God I just did that, you know? And I was able to just be there and like be of service and see what can I do to like help along, make this day easy for my sister, you know? And that was like the first time that I can remember feeling a part of my family, you know? Like, I don't know. I just felt like for a long time before getting sober, I was very uncomfortable. I have a very large extended family, and I was always uncomfortable at like holidays because I would have to go there and sort of hang my head in shame, explain my latest arrest, and they were all very like upstanding people, and I was like the black sheep, it felt like. But this time I was able to just be and like be happy for my sister, and nothing there had anything to do with me. And it was like, I felt like so grateful to like my higher power for like, to AA for being able to go through this stuff, you know? You know, that was just like, it seemed like such a stupid little thing, but it led to like this overwhelming feeling of like, I'm so grateful for AA, you know? Like I said, the steps was where it was at, you know, that's where, what I'm trying to say is that with that is that the steps brought about a change in me, you know, and that I think after making that amends, it was like the first time I noticed some kind of change in me, you know? And I was able to, I learned from people here, you know, how to live life, you know, and I was able to just show up and do what I'm supposed to do. Very simple things that I have great examples in the rooms to show me, you know, just do what you say you're going to do, be where you say you're going to be, you know, keep your mouth shut. And like, people love you for that, you know. I'm like, it's, things have changed so much with like my family. I'm like kind of like the person now that has no drama, and they could just like talk to me and I'll just listen. And you know, like 10 years ago my father died like very unexpectedly. It was like heart attack, and my brother called me, I hung up the phone, and I just started driving. Actually, I didn't even know what had fully happened yet. I just drove, and I remember calling my sponsor and just praying, and everything was okay, you know. And a couple of guys, we're like, call them Pigeon Brothers up there, they like came up to the funeral, And it was just like, I just felt so grateful that, not that, I mean, it sucked, but I felt so grateful that throughout that experience, the idea of a drink never even like crossed my mind, you know? And, which is a long way for somebody like me, where like the idea of going out in public, I needed to be drunk, you know? So the fact that I could deal with like real life stuff sober, is, you know, nothing short of a miracle. And again, I can't take credit for it. It's just from, you know, the people that showed me what to do here in AA. Yeah, so I think I'll like go a little forward. So, fast forward, I had a couple kids a couple years ago, which has been another big change. They're 4 and 3, and I feel like that was a bigger change than even getting sober. And it's really changed my whole life. You know, the meetings I used to go to regularly, I can't get to as much. My wife, like sometimes we're just passing each other by and handing off kids, and I definitely feel a lot less connected to AA at times. You know, and that's it's completely on me. And here's what I kind of fall into is like I'll have a tendency to like I only have these handful of meetings that I can go to, and I would go there and just look for like my friends because I miss them. You know, like we used to hang out all the time and stuff, and I'd go and I was just talking to them and not paying attention to who's new, you know, thinking like, oh, somebody already talked to that guy, you know, and it you go like that, like you don't notice when you get off the beam until things until you're like way out there, you know. And I would say so, like I would say that coupled with when everything shut down up there a couple years ago, I got in like a pretty dark place sober, you know, and like I wasn't like Zoom meetings, like I couldn't do it, you know. I do Zoom all day at work, and I just didn't. I felt like disconnected with a lot of people. There was a lot of people I felt like I couldn't talk to, and I was like, even in at home, like my wife and I, I couldn't even talk to her. I felt like she wasn't a safe person to talk to. To where I got in a place where, I had thoughts of like, if this is how life is going to go, like I don't really want it. You know, I don't want to drink. But I don't want whatever my life is, where it's going. And I had thoughts of like, is there some way I could like die and make it look like it was some accident? And like, are my kids young enough that it won't totally mess them up? And like to say it out loud is like, I'm not trying to be flippant about it because it's like, it's horrific, you know, to think about that really. Because I love my kids like more than anything. And, but that's just to show that like I'm still very broken, you know. And when I get away from doing the things that I was taught here in AA, the things that people showed me to reach out to others, you know, and try to be of help and of service to people, you know, that's where I go today. And when I think about that, I'm like, I don't know, is drinking worse than that? I'm not really sure at this point. Like sometimes I'm like, I don't, my life probably would be better if I drank than if I just ran it on my own that way. And which is kind of a not a good place to be in, you know. And but thankfully, you know, I guess like this men's meeting I mentioned is my home group. I just started going there. I started trying to connect more with people, trying to be more like current with my sponsor and stuff like that. And it was like as soon as I, it's so crazy how like what worked in the beginning still works today, where I can like just sit and talk to somebody and listen to them. And all of a sudden, like whatever I was like problems I had that day, like it's not really a problem, you know. So I don't want to go like too dark with it, but basically what I'm saying is that like this works if I do it, you know, and it's on me. 'Cause like also I one thing I've noticed is like the longer I'm sober, nobody's like checking in, like making sure, are you doing what you're supposed to do, you know? I feel like our we all have the same sponsor that came up here. I feel like they'll let you have a long leash, you know. And so it's really it's on me. And I can easily come up with a million excuses today of like, got kids, I got a mother-in-law, I got all this stuff, my mom has health problems. I can easily come up with legitimate excuses to do non-AA things, you know, but it's gonna kill me, you know, and it's not And I don't like when people say like stakes are higher today, just because I have kids. Because like whatever, like the stakes are high for the stakes were high when I first got sober too. You know what I mean? I just had nobody in my life at that time. But the stakes are just as high. And if I don't do this, like it's gonna be bad. Even if I don't drink, it could still be really bad. And I don't want that today, because like I said, like everything good in my life is because of AA. And because of doing what people showed me here. I would just say, like when I first came here, I wasn't looking for any of that. Like I don't know. I mean, I just didn't want to die. I felt like I was gonna die when I first got sober. And I just wanted to somehow be able to just live life. Like I knew that I couldn't drink, but I just was like, how can I just live sober? I couldn't even look project and see what that life looked like, but I just wanted to somehow just be okay. And I've been given so much more than that here. The fact that I can live life and be a member of my family, a member, like a worker at my job, a member in my home group, and I could just be and I could be comfortable sober is like more than I could have asked for. I don't know. I'm used to. I've spoken at a million detoxes and psych wards and things like that, but it's usually less than half this amount of time. So I really don't want to like ramble and say a bunch of BS. So I think that might be all I've got. But I'm really grateful for you guys for listening, and I hope that something resonated with you. But if not, just please keep coming back because steps work. That's really what it is. If you want to have a spiritual experience and be a different person, the steps are what does it. So thank you guys. Yeah.